That is called Keep My Feet. Song I wrote on the guitar many, many years ago, and I have a new version I'm recording. It sounds really good, actually. I'm liking it. Hi, and welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I am Clayton Pixton. It's good to be with you again after many moons. It hasn't been many moons, but it's been like a couple moons. I've been a little distracted, focused on turning in hymns and children's songs for the new hymn book for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, my church, because they've asked for them, but the deadline's over. And I've turned in whatever I'm going to turn in now, which ended up being 3 children's songs. And yeah, it's great. We'll see. It's good to have that over, though, honestly, because I can focus on some other things. But it was a great experience, and don't know if anything will get picked. But one of the hymns was actually based on that thing I just played for you. Anyway, it's good to be back, and we're going to talk about the disconnect in psychology between the theory and the practice. At least for me, I feel like, from what I can see in my outsider perspective, the theories that I read about kind of talk about, oh, the brain, and, you know, that's the cause of mental illnesses and everything, and chemistry, and, you know, purely kind of biological factors, whereas you get into the practice of psychology and therapy and everything, and it's all about changing your unproductive thoughts and doing other things that are more practical, getting sunlight and socializing and stuff like that. I don't know where the sunlight thing came from, but I mean, not that it's not helpful for some people. It's not the first thing, probably. Okay, let's start from the beginning of my notes here. Had a thought about, first a little bit of a dangerous thought because it's in dangerous category. So here's the thing. Self-deception is the result of sin, as well as basically innocently going against the light. So how do you know the difference? And you probably don't, and it's supposed to be that way. Right? Self-deception is the result of sin. We know that. Might have to go back some episodes. But it's also, according to me, not necessarily the result of the person sinning. I think people think it is, but I think they're wrong. And lots of people don't think it is, of course. Well, they don't have a notion of the sin thing or the self-deception thing. Anyway, okay. That's that one. Another thought about science. Science is all about what you can see. What you can see with the natural eye. See, hear, feel, taste, smell, all that same thing. So it has nothing to say about religion except what it sees. And I'm not sure it can have that much to say about psychology, because you can only see a little bit of what's going on, right? You can't see what's going on underneath. You can't see what's going on in the mind. You can only see what happens. Yeah, I think people think that maybe one day we'll be able to see into the brain in some way, and even with our scans and everything, which are great, I think that's awesome, but I don't think we're going to be able to see thoughts ever. Sorry, that's just me. Okay, so also I feel like psychology is really as much or more about religion as it is about science, because so much of it is invisible. Explanations for why we do what we do are all hypothetical, pretty much, right? Until you admit assertions of the unseen, which is the job of religion, yes? So science is really limited. It's a little field, it's a little method, it's one way of finding out things. People give it too much responsibility, and it can't do all that, and that's okay, it's not meant to. But we can't see everything, or hear everything, or smell everything, or taste everything. That's just the way it is. Okay. Sunday, May 26th. 2019, what is the difference between an individual episode or temporary state of anxiety or depression and the long-term variety? Alice Miller, for example, describes how doing something, admitting to our feelings maybe, something like that, kind of immediately releases us from depression, but there's a deeper, right, more underlying, long-lasting thing that may be analogous to or maybe smaller version of what the preschool kid on the playground did. But surely there is some difference, right? At least some explanation for the relationship between it and the longer-term thing, but what is it? And surely it applies to both anxiety and depression, and for that matter, other mental ailments. So that's a big question in my mind. What makes depression turn into a thing? I mean, you've got your temporary, you know, thing, but then you've got this long-term thing, and it's like institutionalized, it's become a pattern, it's become biological. And maybe it's biological in the short term too, but maybe to a different degree. I don't know. I would like to know. Okay, another question we'll have to tackle is medication. Okay, for some reason, medication works. Right? Not completely. It doesn't eliminate stuff, or maybe it does for some people. But to some degree, it works. And that's a great thing, right? If it helps a person live their life for the time being while they're tackling stuff on a psychological level or making changes to their life and so forth, I think they should. Some people take this to mean, I think, that it's all medical / biological / brain. But if that were the case, then how does talk therapy work? And how does socializing work, and simplifying and doing things you enjoy and learning to speak your mind, all those things, and telling yourself affirmations, you know, combating those affirmations have a bad rap probably, but you're learning to tell yourself things that are true, should be true, and you're combating the bad stuff anyway. The untrue stuff. Some people would call it unproductive and more productive or something like that. But I think, hey man, we know more than this. If we're, you know, Christian or have certain knowledge of religion and stuff, and not everybody has to accept that, that's fine. But if we have that, we have more. We know more. We can call it true and untrue. Because we know that, you know, we are children of a loving Heavenly Father, and He loves us, and we matter, we mean everything to Him. So telling yourself that you don't matter, that's just not true. Some people would say, oh, that's not really productive. And, or they might say, oh, that's not true, but they don't know why it's not true. It doesn't have the weight. I think we talked about this a little bit already. Okay. So how does psychotherapy work if it's all brain chemicals and stuff? It's not. And I don't want to waste too much time talking about whether it's only brain chemicals or whether it's partly psychological, because we won't get anywhere. Right? It's like talking about whether God exists or not and just dwelling on that your whole life if you already know He does. Or it's like dwelling on whether people are affected by their personality or by the environment, nature or nurture, and spending your whole life being stuck on that. Well, obviously it's both, guys, okay? We all know that, though. I think most reasonable people do. Okay, so we should tackle the question at some point of why pure medication works to an extent. Right now, all I know is, for some reason, I'm putting this in quotes, for some reason medication alone works to some degree on mental conditions. The mind and the body are clearly connected somehow, unquote. So that's not a very good quote to me. It's very wishy-washy. It's not the right description, but it's not, there's nothing solid about it. It lacks understanding. Okay. Moving on in my thoughts here. Surely psychology isn't the only scientific field, quote-unquote, that's groping in the dark, right? What about physics or medicine or the many other fields of science? Are they affected by, not paying attention to matters of faith, should I say, or ignoring revealed truth? Are they as affected by that as psychology? I don't know. Okay, speaking of which, we need to talk about spirit and psychology. We need to talk about what spirit is, because some people don't know. Okay, Monday, May 27th. Seems to me there is a mismatch in psychology between theory and practice. Seriously, what works is some medication, which we don't understand, by the way, but perhaps even more than that, changing thinking and coping strategies and such. But what do people's theories talk about? Brain chemicals. What do you think? Does it seem to you that there's that mismatch in psychology and the theory and the practice? The way we treat people for mental illnesses and something less severe, maybe that we wouldn't even call a mental illness, is one thing. We might say, okay, you need to challenge these negative thoughts that you have, and you need to tell yourself this. Or we may say, well, looks like you're struggling here. You really, do you get out and socialize at all? You should really do that. Let's make a plan for you to do that. I don't know. I don't have enough experience with therapy, I guess. I probably should, but... Or they might say, well, make sure you're getting depressed in the wintertime. You need to make sure you get enough sunlight. I don't know. There are several things. You need to get out and do things that you enjoy or that you used to enjoy. You need to learn some relaxation techniques. You need to learn to take some steps in your life to reduce stress. You need to exercise. You need to modify your diet a little bit. Eat more healthy. Okay, you hear the things I'm saying? But if you read on these websites that we kind of read in an earlier podcast, the cause of mental conditions isn't, erroneous thinking and lack of socialization and too much stress. The reason for mental illness is brain and chemicals and biological stuff. Okay, how many times am I going to say that? Well, but that's the thing. That's the disconnect. Do you see that? Do you think I'm okay saying that? Surely, right? Surely that's the case. Anyway, I feel that the understanding of self-deception can do a lot to help us out. Lastly, this is my last thought. I think in terms of what mental illness is made out of. What are these things made out of? I say mental illness. Of course, by that, I really mean just regular stress and depression and stuff on a smaller scale as well. But what is that made out of? And I think it's made out of self-deception. You know how the world is made out of atoms, so we know that now. Didn't always know that, but we know it now, and we understand a lot about chemistry. That's all happened relatively recently. So that helps understand what's going on underneath everything. You combine two things and something happens and it's like, what? But now we can explain that because, the electrons are, moving. These atoms are combining, or these compounds are combining, and the molecules are combining in this way, and so they have to get rid of this many electrons because they can only have this many electrons. And now, since it releases this energy, it does this, and the wavelength of what's emitted is this color because of this. And, we understand all these great things. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could understand self-deception this way? If we could understand what's happening underneath stuff. And of course, you can't see it like we can see chemistry. We'll never be able to get a microscope necessarily. But just understanding this stuff could help us greatly, right? All right. That's my last thought of the day. And I hope you enjoyed that wonderful light discussion on psychology and self-deception. Wonder how long we'll be talking about self-deception. And we're going to end with the same little thing we began with. This very cool thing called Keep My Feet. This is the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixton. And I hope you have a great day and remember your worth all the time. All right. Goodbye.